You ever Googled yourself online? About 3 weeks ago, I Googled Kevin Garner, pastor of Fox River Church, and this is what I got on something called whitepages.com. Kevin W. Garner, alias Kevin D. Garner, alias Dr. Kevin Garner. Doctor? Wife Deidre Garner. My wife's name is Sue. Says we lived at our home address since 2012, but we've really been there since 1994. Says I used to live in Woodwind, Washington State. Never heard of it. Never been there before. Says my home phone number is 307-674-9661, which is wrong. And it even has my smartphone number, even though I've never had a smartphone in my entire life. Isn't it amazing how people think they know somebody, who they really are, and what they're really all about, and really don't have a clue? And the question this morning, who is Fox River Church? What is Fox River really all about? And who we really are? And a lot of people think they know, but don't have a clue, even people who are already in this church. And here at the start of this new year and these last days, God is asking us to take just a couple of seconds and answer some questions about ourselves so that we can be the kind of church that we need to be, especially in these last days. And we're going to start doing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for the new year called Questions and Answers, looking at all kinds of questions that God is asking us about who we are as a church and the kind of ministry that we're doing. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the very first question, who are we? Who are we at Fox River? And to see that, we turn today, of all places, to Ezra chapter 9 and Ezra chapter 10. Ezra chapter 9, starting at verses 1 through 4. After these things had been done, the leaders came to me and said, the people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them. And the leaders and officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness. When I heard this, I tore my tunic and cloak, pulled my hair from my head and beard, and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel gathered around me because of this unfaithfulness of the exiles. And I sat there appalled until the evening sacrifice. Then chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children, gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, we have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples around us. But in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. Now let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law. Rise up. This matter is in your hands. We will support you. So take courage and do it. And then verses 10 through 12. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. Now make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples around you and from your foreign wives. The whole assembly responded with a loud voice, you are right. We must do as you say. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And I thank you for Fox River Church. Thank you for the history of this congregation that it continues today. I pray you just show us, Lord, who we are as a church and who you're calling us to be yet. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. At this point in Ezra chapter 9 and Ezra chapter 10, a remnant of the Jewish people had come back to Israel after the Babylonian exile to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And God was asking them some questions about who they really were and the kind of ministry they were having in our text today. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, at the start of this brand new year, in these last days, God himself is asking us the exact same questions. Our text this morning, Ezra chapter 9 and Ezra chapter 10, tells us three answers to that question, who are we as Fox River Church? And let's look and see what those three answers are. The first thing we see from this text, the first answer to that question, who are we at Fox River Church? We are the people of God. And that's exactly what we see here in Ezra chapter 9 and Ezra chapter 10. And that's exactly the opposite of what all the haters say. Well, Fox River is just a cult. Fox River, that's just a mega church. Kevin Garner, he hates everybody who doesn't look like him. Are you kidding me? Kevin hopes nobody looks like him. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Had a guy come up to me at Walmart a couple of weeks ago. He says, I was out to your church at Fox River a couple of months ago. He said, you know, you got black people in your church. I said, we do. I said, I guess I hadn't noticed. He said, what's a black guy doing in a white church? This guy? That's not a black guy in a white church. That's a Christian guy in a Christian church. Here at Fox River, we've got white people, we've got black people, we've got Native Americans, we've got Hispanic, we've got Thai, we've got Filipino, we've got Russian, we've got European. We don't hate people of color. We are people of color. We're the people of God, just like the people in this text. Now, if you missed Bible 101, the nation of Israel under David and Solomon was split into two different kingdoms. The northern kingdom was called Israel with its capital in Samaria. The southern kingdom was called Judah with its capital in Jerusalem. And to separate the northern kingdom even more from the southern kingdom, the first king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, put up golden calves at Bethel and Dan so his people would not go down south and worship God at the temple in Jerusalem. And that idolatry went viral. And because of it, God eventually exiled the northern kingdom of Israel to Assyria in 721 BC, and the northern kingdom was toast. And the southern kingdom lasted a little bit longer, but because of idolatry, King Nebuchadnezzar came along, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and exiled most of the people from the southern kingdom to Babylon in 586 BC. And God could have just pulled the plug and started over again with another chosen people. But then a king named Cyrus of the Persians conquered the Babylonians and let a remnant of the Jews go back to Israel to rebuild. And a cupbearer named Nehemiah got a construction crew together and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And then a priest named Ezra came along, laid down the law, and rebuilt the people, their spiritual lives and their spiritual relationship with the Lord, so that by the grace of God, they were still the people of God, just like people here at Fox River, a remnant. Called out of Babylon, called out of the world. And this church did not start back when Sue and I came here in 1994. Fox River started way back in 1839, 187 years ago. And folks, the vast majority of churches in America, 187 years old, have long since died or been torn down or turned into antique shops. But not this one, not hardly. Because in 187 years, Fox River Church has survived a civil war, two world wars, leisure suits, Y2K, Joe Biden, and 32 years of Kevin Garner. So don't tell me this church is not here by the grace of God. Because when Sue and I came here in 1994, a honcho with the AFLC told us, you are going to Norway, Illinois to bury Fox River Church because that church has no future. 55 people on a Sunday morning, worshiping in a church that was built in 1859 when Abraham Lincoln was president. Like going to church in a museum. And the church was so small, only two people could go to the bathroom there at the same time. My office was so small, I had to leave to change my mind. And God could have just pulled the plug and closed it. But 1996, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and He said, I'm going to bless your church. And did He ever, because He started sending us people coming out of the woodwork. So many people, 2005, we put a building committee together. And then an old Norwegian bachelor farmer who had only been to Fox River one time his entire life, back at that old church for a funeral, left us $800,000 in his will. 2006, we dedicated this building and we've been growing ever since. All kinds of people who've never been to church before in their lives, or people who hadn't been to church in years and years and years. This note that I got is pretty typical. Dear Pastor Garner, because of all kinds of hurts, I stayed away from all churches for 33 years. Thank you for leading me back to a relationship with Christ and giving me a church home again after all this time. That is Fox River Church. That's who we are. Now, a lot of churches in America are pretty homogenous. You walk in, everybody kind of looks the same. They're all the same age. They're all young couples with kids. Fox River is not like that. Fox River has never been like that. Now, we're not exactly the bar scene at Star Wars, but in this church, we do have more assorted nuts and bolts than an Ace Hardware store. We've got farmers, we've got pipe fitters, we've got nurses, we've got a former NFL football player, we've got a pilot from United Airlines, we got the president of Farm Bureau, we got a professional Santa Claus, the people of God. And do you realize who you are as the people of God? Does anybody know what this is? That is the famous rose window at York Minster Cathedral in York, England. Look at that incredible design. Now, does anybody know what that is? That is a picture of a cross-cut section of one strand of DNA in your body. Look at that incredible design. You are the people of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. God's workmanship, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. You're the people of God. That's who we are at Fox River. And contrary to what everybody on the outside says, though, Fox River people don't walk on water. And we don't breathe fire. And we're not Superman and Wonder Woman. Because the people of God here at Fox River need Jesus Christ. Amen. There's people in this church, they are the only Christian in their entire family. Their spouse, their husband or wife is not saved and does not come to church with them. There's people in this church who get beat up every single week, all week long at work and at home for being a Christian and for coming to Fox River. This is the only place all week long they ever have any peace. There's people in this church, the only real family they have are you sitting right here in these seats. There's people in this church, the only real friends that they have are you sitting right here in these seats. And Fox River people are hurting people because they're getting picked on in school. And because their kids are walking away from the Lord and it's breaking their heart. There's people in this church right now who are going through a divorce. There's people in this church, they don't even know where their spouse is. People in this church who've lost loved ones and still haven't gotten over it. Men in this church that have prostate cancer. There are people in this church who are terminal. They are dying and they know it. And there's whole families in this church going through it with them. There's people in our church that are addicted to porn. There's people in our church that drink too much. There's people in our church who are addicted to oxycodone and getting high. There are people in our church who go home every single day and get down on their knees and cry out to God and beg Him to forgive them for the affair, for the abuse, for the DUI. Because they don't believe deep down inside that God ever has forgiven them or that He ever will. There's wives in this church that never hear, "I love you." There are husbands in this church that never hear, "I am proud of you." But in spite of that, they're still committed to God and they're still committed to this church. That's who we are. That's Fox River Church. And all of us Fox River people are here today because of Him. I'll say it again. This church did not start when Sue and I came here in 1994. This church did not start Fox River back in 2006 when we dedicated this building. This church was started 1839, 187 years ago. And God used a crazy old Norwegian evangelist named Elling Eielson to do it. The guy you see right there. For thousands of years, this part of Illinois was Illini Indian territory, visited by Spanish explorers like Cortez and French explorers like De Soto and French missionaries like Pierre Marquette. But in the 1820s, Norwegians started coming to this part of Illinois because a Norwegian explorer named Kling Pearson came here to Illinois, then went back to Norway and told everybody that good farmland was here for the cheap in America. So here come the Norwegians. 1834, they built a little town in Norway along Highway 71. It was called the Norwegian Settlement, the oldest permanent Norwegian Lutheran town in the entire United States. And a lot of those Norwegians were Lutherans, and they wanted a real Norwegian Lutheran pastor to come from Norway to this Norway and start a real Norwegian Lutheran church. But the problem was the vast majority of Lutheran pastors in Norway were too chicken to get on a ship, sail across the Atlantic Ocean, fight Indians, thugs, prairie fires, and cholera epidemics to come to the little hole in the wall of Norway, Illinois, and start a church. And the first three Lutheran pastors who were actually brave enough to try it and willing to try it all converted to Mormonism the first year they got here. So much for that. Oops. But the next one they sent for was the real deal, because he was called by God. Elling Eielson, born in Voss, Norway, grew up on a farm, learned how to be a blacksmith and a carpenter, served in the Norwegian military, got radically saved when he was 25 years old, and immediately started preaching the gospel to anybody, anytime, anywhere. Elling Eielson would preach the gospel to the drunks in the taverns and the Johns in the cat houses. He would preach to the miners as they went down and came up from the pits. He'd preach to the fishermen on the docks as the boats would come in and come out. He preached all over Norway and Denmark and Sweden and got arrested buku times because it was illegal to preach the gospel at that time outside the state church. He didn't care. He kept preaching anyway. 35 years old, God called him here to America. The very first thing he did when he got here to Norway, he started a church, the very first Fox River Lutheran Church. Built a two-story log cabin along the banks of the Fox River. His family lived on the first floor. Church met on the second floor. So that technically makes Fox River Church the oldest Norwegian Lutheran congregation in America. Woohoo! 1840, that two-story log cabin burned to the ground. So his congregation built that church you see there, upper right-hand corner. The church that was then on Main Street in Norway. The church that's behind the Norway store today and is a Norwegian American museum. In 1840 in Illinois, there weren't any Bible study materials in Norwegian. And the closest printing press was all the way in New York City. So Elling Eielson walked there, 840 miles. Walked because he couldn't afford a horse. Walked to New York City, got Bible study material printed in Norwegian, and then walked them all the way back here to Norway. And that guy did that four more times in the next 10 years, just so people in this church could grow in the Lord. And Elling Eielson was like the Apostle Paul, because he traveled up and down the Mississippi River Valley, planting and organizing churches wherever he went. At one point in the 1840s, Elling Eielson was pastoring 27 different churches in six different states. So in every church, Elling Eielson appointed lay people to do ministry when he was gone. In 1859, another Lutheran church started a mile southeast of the church in Norway by other Lutherans who didn't like Elling Eielson and didn't like lay people doing ministry. 1917, the church in Norway and the church outside of Norway merged together. 1977, they remodeled the church in the country and sold the church in the town for a museum. 1994, Sue and I came to Fox River Church. That's the church we served in. It's not up there, but it's that one remodeled. And then 2005, we had so many people coming, we put up this church, dedicated in 2006, and we've been here ever since. And all because of the Lord and Elling Eielson. People, there are reports of Elling Eielson walking up and down the Mississippi River Valley, hundreds and hundreds of miles because he couldn't afford a horse, sleeping outside in the cold and the wet because he couldn't afford a room, his clothes so torn and so tattered they barely hung on him, separated from his family months and months at a time, working and praying and doing everything he possibly could to keep all those churches going, including this one. Even when only two people would show up at an annual meeting, even when they paid him in chickens and turnips instead of money. But he did it. Elling Eielson did it. Fox River, we are literally standing on the shoulders of a giant. And you see him right there on that screen. Elling Eielson. Somebody you should know. Fox River people. The people of God. Just like you. The first answer to that question, who we are as Fox River Church, we are the people of God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing, a second answer to that question, who we are as Fox River Church. We're not only the people of God, we're also people who believe the Word of God. And that's also what we see in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Because Ezra just about had a baby when he found out that a lot of the men in Jerusalem had gotten a divorce from their Jewish wives. And then went on Tinder and got all kinds of foreign, pagan women to be their baby mamas. So they weren't just hookups, they weren't just bops, they weren't just side girls, they were married to them. Idol worshipers. Israel just got done spending 70 years in exile in Babylon for idolatry. The men were at it again because they couldn't keep it in their pants. God told his people, Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 4, do not marry foreign women. because they will lead you and your children away from the God of Israel. And the Jewish faith and the Jewish nation would never survive it. And yet there they were. And everybody's got to realize the problem with those foreign women was not their color. It wasn't where they were from or where they were, or what their race was. The word race in Greek and Hebrew is not used one single time anywhere in your Bible. The problem with those women was not what they looked like. The problem was what they believed. Idolatry. And Fox River, let me ask you, what's the idolatry in our lives right now? Is it money? Is it porn? Is it popularity? The stupid phone? You're more worried about 22 guys fighting over a pigskin than you are your next door neighbor going to hell. Maybe it's relationships with unbelievers, because the New Testament gives us exactly the same commandment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be yoked with unbelievers. You say, well, Kevin, I can lead that person to Christ. Yeah, but you have no guarantee that that's ever going to happen. And how in the world can you even think, can you even consider spending the rest of your life with somebody who does not share the most important thing that you have, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ? The people of God believe the Word of God. And notice the Jewish officials here did too, because they didn't accommodate this sin at all. Mixed marriage? Come on, Ezra. It's 440 BC, for crying out loud. Times have changed, and God is love. And doesn't God just want us to be happy? No, he didn't say that. The Jewish officials didn't take the foreign women to a seeker-sensitive church and put them in a small group for Canaanites. They didn't give them Hebrew second language classes. They didn't hire an interpreter to translate the sermons into Phoenician or Amorites. The Jewish officials took the pagan foreign women and the children that they had given birth to, and they kicked them out of Jerusalem. And why did they do that? I'll tell you why. Because the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. And the problem is today, the modern church has kicked the Word of God out. Amen. And watered it down for the sake of numbers to try to grow a crowd. Because the church today is all about putting butts in the seats. So whatever you do, don't say anything controversial. Don't talk about anything that might hurt somebody's feelings or offend somebody, because they might not come back to church. So instead of church today, you've got a dog and pony show. Here's one example.
Oh, here we go. We're the Mario Brothers.
Now that's a pastor. That's a church, but is that the pastor or the flying nun? There's another one. This is a church. No, I'll admit that's really cool. But what's the point of that? When worship becomes performance, church becomes a stage, and God is no longer the audience. Remember last Super Bowl Sunday, Crossroads Mega Church, Cincinnati, Ohio, doing a skit about a football game about the Super Bowl? A female pastor named Allie Patterson did that.
Yeah, let's just go with tails. Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
Tom wins the toss, chooses to receive the Bible. Patterson back with the kick.
She's not going to do that, is she?
Oh my goodness! Is that a touchback?
She kicked the Bible off the stage. And folks, if that is not a perfect picture of what the modern church today is doing with the Word of God, I don't know what is. And all to draw a crowd of people. Last night there were 65,000 people at Soldier Field in Chicago for the playoff game with the Bears and the Packers. 65,000 people. Does that mean that all 65,000 people there got saved? Does that mean that they went there because they wanted to get saved? No. So tell me again, what's the value in big numbers? Nothing. And the Bible told us this would happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, in the last days people will turn aside from godly doctrine and sin and salvation and the cross and the blood and repentance. And they will turn aside the myths. And that word myths in the Greek literally means pleasant things and stories man-made. You notice Fox River Church never does any of that stuff? And you know why? Because we believe the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God to draw people. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the Word of God when it comes to LGBTQ. Well, Kevin, how come your church preaches that LGBTQ is wrong and my church says it's okay? That's very simple. Because my church believes the Bible is the Word of God and yours doesn't. The modern church today has taken LGBTQ, slid it all the way over here to the side, put it in a totally separate category, and will not say that it's sin. In the Bible, God never treats LGBTQ as anything other than sin. And Christians, we can't treat it any other way either. Because every single one of us, I don't care if you consider yourself gay or straight, every single one of us has all kinds of urges and desires inside of us to do things that are wrong. And Jesus says exactly the same thing to everybody. Follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and put the sin away by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that he gets us ads from the Super Bowl last year? You're going to see more of them this Super Bowl. Remember the Super Bowl ad from He Gets Us that shows the guy with the John 3:16 hat representing Jesus hanging the guy that was marching in the gay pride parade?
Judgmental Christians, they've given Jesus a bad name. So what do? They present Jesus as a very sympathetic character, a non-judgmental Jesus. Why? Because He gets us.
Your own personal Jesus.
And I can see railing against the hatefulness because that is wrong. But what's the implication of that ad? Jesus is good with homosexuality. Jesus is cool with LGBTQ. Jesus is not going to judge you for that. Jesus isn't going to condemn you for that like those nasty little mean Christians that are running around here, because Jesus gets us. But see, what he gets us doesn't realize, Jesus really does get us. Which means Jesus realizes that we are sinners, separated from God and deserving of nothing but hell. So Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead so our sins could be forgiven. And so we could be set free from that sin. He gets us, doesn't get him. Because the he gets us, Jesus has no answer, has no solution for our sin problem. And I've heard this a million times and I've gotten it in an email. Well, Kevin, they can't just pray the gay away. Nobody can just pray the gay away. Yes, they can. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11 says they can. And Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And millions of people have walked away from the LGBTQ lifestyle, including people in this church. Amen. So you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm going to believe the Word of God. And it's because people in this church have believed the Word of God that this church is still here. Every Sunday morning, all kinds of people come into this room, into this church, having no idea, no clue, all the battles that were fought for this church from the very beginning. 2005. God was sending so many people to that little church in the country. He was obviously telling us, expand the tent. That was His word. Which meant building a brand new church in a brand new location. Because that little church only held about 150 people. And God knew that the future of Fox River Church was not in that old building. But the problem was there were a lot of people in the congregation at that time that loved that old church. And you know what? I loved it too. That was the first church that Sue and I ever served. I was there for 12 and a half years. The last time my dad, Robert Garner, ever went to a church service his entire life was in that building. But it just wasn't big enough. God was telling us to expand the tent. And the old guard was fighting against us, threatening not even to go to a new church if we built one. So the day of the congregational vote, whether or not we were going to build a new church, the old people in that church went and got former members who had even moved away to other states to come back to the vote meeting, to the meeting, so they could vote against building a new church. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and the vote was 64 to 22 in our favor. Praise God we won that battle. If we hadn't won that battle, you wouldn't be sitting in this room right now. Amen. Then once we got this building up and going, we had to hang on to it. Because the very next year, 2007, that piece of property at the intersection of 52 and 71, that's always for sale, the mob came down from Chicago and wanted to buy it and build a strip club there. So it would have been like having the Silver Slipper right in the backyard of Fox River Church. So we protested, we wrote letters to the editor, we printed buttons. The mob boss showed up at the zoning meeting at the township building that night in Sheridan in a stretch limo. And Pat Sebi and Sandy Barbier even witnessed to her and also to the limo driver. Fox River people stood up and spoke out against having Sodom and Gomorrah on the corner of 52 and 71. Mark Sebi cited all kinds of zoning laws about how far away a strip club in Illinois has to be from a church building. And our ace in the hole, one of the people on that zoning board, Rich Tutlin, was a member of our church. Took the vote, no strip club. We stood on God's word. We won that battle too. The battle continued. Bill Bernadone, who's with Jesus now, was an elder in this church for many, many years. One Friday night in 2009, he was working back there in that sound booth, and somebody knocked on the door. Come to find out, it was a Muslim imam who said that he had come to Fox River all the way from Franklin Park, and he wanted to know if he could come into this room, into this sanctuary, and pray. Well, Bill was an elder. He'd have gladly prayed with him. He'd have led him to Christ if that's what he wanted. He didn't want to do that. The Muslim wanted to come into this room by himself and pray all by himself. So Bill called me and I said, no way. Because when Muslims pray over an area, that is their way of claiming that area for Islam and for Allah. And this building's dedicated to Jesus Christ. So Bill told him no. A couple weeks later, some of our guys were here on a Saturday morning. Another Muslim imam came to this church and asked to do exactly the same thing. Again, he was told no because this building is dedicated to Jesus Christ, another battle we had to fight. And then COVID came along. March of 2020, it started to hit this area. And Governor J.B. Pritzker stood up and announced that all churches are non-essential and they should close. Well, I didn't want to close because I didn't want to depend on the whim of a pagan governor to reopen again. If J.B. Pritzker has no qualms about stabbing a baby in the back of the neck and sucking his brains out with a vacuum tube, you think he's got any qualms about keeping you from getting back in your church? God told us to expand the tent, not to close it. But at the beginning, nobody knew what COVID was. So we closed this church for 7 Sundays, thinking all the while how we could reopen it again. So when we did close the church, we started live streaming worship services. It was me and we had an intern named Andrew Shelbeck. We would preach. Les and a couple other people would do some worship. And there were a couple of guys in the sound booth. That was it inside this church. But some older people from our church would get in their car and they would drive to the church and sit out in the parking lot. And they would listen from the parking lot, the live stream that was going on inside the church by shortwave radio. Well, finally, after 7 weeks of that nonsense, a woman named Nadine Pierce called me. She said, Kevin, why in the world can't we go to church in our own building? I said, why not? So I called Donnie Hendrickson. He spread the word. Mother's Day, Sunday, 2020, we had 44 brave souls sitting in the seats in this church. One of only 2 churches in the entire state of Illinois that were open. We opened, we've been open ever since, and this church is never, ever, ever going to close again until Jesus comes. And there were a couple in our church got so mad that we reopened, they left the church. They wanted us to isolate in a hyperbaric chamber for the next 500 years. And another person, a turncoat who's no longer with us, he reported us to the Illinois State Police, a member of this church, said that we were engaging in unauthorized activity, like we need the authorization of the state police to worship in our own building. The LaSalle County State's Attorney had already announced they weren't going to prosecute Christians who were trying to reopen their churches. But boy, were people mad at us, like always. We were evil. We were selfish. We wanted to kill grandma. We weren't very Christ-like. People in this church had family members that disowned them because they knew they came to this crazy church on Sundays where we didn't enforce mass or worry about the clot shot. But you know what? Because all the other churches in this area were closed and we were still open, a lot more people started watching our live stream. And the more people that watched our live stream, the more people started coming to this church. And today, because of that live stream started during COVID that we thought was a disaster, Fox River Church has a social media platform that literally reaches all over the entire world. Folks, talk about expanding the tent. Does God know what he's saying? Does God know what he's doing or what? Every single person listening to this church right now, you are more than welcome to come here and be a part of everything that we do if you've got the right motive. But just remember, this church came at a cost. All kinds of people who fought all kinds of battles to protect it and defend it and to keep it open and to keep it going. And Fox River people won every single one of those battles. And you know why? Because when you believe in the Word of God and you stand on the Word of God for your church, the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against it. The second answer to that question, who are we at Fox River? We are people who believe the Word of God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third answer to that question, who are we at Fox River? We're not only the people of God, we're not only the people who believe the Word of God, but third, we are people who stand up for the truth of God. And that's also what we see here in Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Because verses 2 through 4, an official named Shechaniah stood up. And he said, we've got to make this right with God. So they took all the foreign pagan wives and all the children that they had, and they set them outside of Jerusalem. And when they separated them from the husbands and from the fathers, of course they didn't abandon them. Of course the husbands still kept providing. They didn't just throw them out on the street. But they obeyed God, they repented, and they stood up for the truth. And you know what? Fox River people stand up for the truth too. Because Fox River people ain't sheeple. Fox River people are not mind-numb robots who come to this church to learn what they're supposed to think. They already know what to think from the Word of God. Amen. And because they love truth so much, they think absolutely nothing about driving 40, 50, 60 miles one way to be at this church on a Sunday morning. Fox River people, a lot of them came out of seeker-sensitive, claptrap churches in order to be at this church, which means they will have no qualms about leaving this church if this church ever stops preaching the truth. Do you know who the people are in this church? These are people who got canceled and censored during COVID, so they're never going to shut up again. These are the people who stand and speak up at church council meetings and at congregational meetings. These are the people who go to school board meetings and stand up and speak, and speak up at city council meetings, standing up for the truth. The picture you see on the screen is a drag pastor. I didn't put that up there to make fun of it. A man dressed up like a woman trying to look like a woman as a pastor. If this pastor, Kevin Garner, came into this church on a Sunday morning, dressed like a woman and acting like a woman, the people in this church would not get up and walk out of here. The people in this church would get up and walk me out of here. That's the kind of people that we have at Fox River. We did freedom rallies in this church to protest the lockdowns and masks and the clot shots. We had a seminar on alternative medicine to protest the medical tyranny of the American Medical Association. We did two seminars to try to fight child sex trafficking in this country. People at Fox River on Sunday mornings have more weapons than the guns of Navarone and have absolutely no qualms about standing up and using them to protect and defend this place or to protect and defend you if they have to. Years ago, I had a guy come up after a service on Sunday morning. He came up to the front. He was madder than a snort. After the service was over, he said, this ain't no Lutheran church. He said, this isn't anything like a Lutheran church that I've ever known before. I said, thank you. Thanks for the compliment. We stand up for truth. We stand up here at Fox River for truth by speaking out on so-called political issues. And I know most Christians today say, oh, we don't do politics. Listen, you don't do politics, you don't do Bible. Because every so-called political issue is a biblical, moral, and spiritual issue that the Bible talks about. And if God talks about it in the Bible, we Christians have to talk about it in the church. Amen. But the problem is it's not happening. 70 million dead babies in abortion since 1973. 40% of Americans believe that a man can magically morph and turn into a woman. ICE agents being attacked every single day in our major cities. Americans being killed by illegal aliens every single day in our country. Immigrants fleecing the American people to the tune of billions of dollars in fraud. 300,000 minor children trafficked at the southern border under Joe Biden. 240,000 of them are still missing. Moral, spiritual issues that the Bible talks about and that the Holy Spirit screams about. And the Church of Jesus Christ today says absolutely nothing. The silence from America's pulpits today is absolutely deafening on the most critical issues of our time. Did you hear Zora Mamdani's inauguration speech this past week? Because it would curl your hair.
We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism.
See the picture of the people in Venezuela celebrating the fall of collectivism there after the arrest of Maduro? Because collectivism means communism. The most demonic, anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-God ideology in the history of the whole wide world that murdered over 200 million people in the 20th century alone. And now it's in the mayor's office of the most powerful city in America. But don't worry, Christians. Don't say anything. Don't try to do anything. I'm sure it'll be just fine. For crying out loud, we have got to get involved in these issues. Because we're not in a popularity contest. We're trying to win a war. And the two sides of that war couldn't be more clear.
His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with Him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And He suffered like men. And He died like a man. But on the third day He rose unlike any mortal man. And when He returns, because He took on that death, because He carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from Him. And when He returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
Now, in this war, one side wants to platform that and cheer it on. The other side wants to censor it and cancel it and fight against it with every single thing that they have. Christians, we have got to stand up and we have got to speak up, because you show me where in the Bible does it say that Christians are supposed to sit back and do absolutely nothing while the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world goes to hell in a handbasket. It doesn't say that anywhere. We stand up for truth. We stand up for truth here at Fox River, especially me, because of what I do here at Fox River. The picture you see on the screen, upper left-hand corner, is a TikTok slam against our church, posted by some troll a couple of months ago. You can't see the hashtag, but it says this: Fox River Church, evil in disguise. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Bastion of love and tolerance. And of course, that's not directed at you. It's aimed at me, because of the sermons that I preach. And it's been like that from the very start. When God called me to preach when I was 18 years old, He said, here's the deal. You pray, I'll tell you what to say, and you say it. And for 44 years, that's exactly what I've done, because I believe the Bible is the Word of God 100,000%. And people are dying and going to hell without it. So preach the Word from the heart, no apologies, no compromise. I don't pull any punches, and I don't take any prisoners, because that's exactly the way that God called me to do it. And over the years, I've taken a lot of heat for it. People don't realize I learned how to preach in jails and prisons. And when I preached in jails and prisons, I didn't go out of my way to step on people. I didn't go out of my way to hurt people's feelings. I just simply said what the Word of God said. And prisoners hated me for it. They'd spit at me. They cussed at me. They threw things at me. They lit matches and cigarettes and threw them at me. One guy even lit an entire Bible on fire and tried to throw it at me through the bars. So on Sunday morning, when somebody comes in here and then during the sermon they get up and walk out because of something that I said, because of all the stuff that I've dealt with in the past, that doesn't bother me at all. One Sunday morning in jail, I had a guy spitting on me. And he said, well, Kevin, don't take this personally. Spitting on me. He said, this isn't about you. I don't even know who you are, Kevin. He said, I can't stand the Bible that you're reading. He said, it's what's in that book that I can't stand. I've gotten all kinds of slams because of sermons. Guy in Marseille said, Kevin Garner sounds like a used car salesman. And that's an insult to used car salesmen. A pastor in Morris wrote this on his blog: I know for a fact Kevin Garner never preaches the gospel. People claim I'm just doing it for money. I've had people in this church tell me I was preaching wrong, even though they never preached a sermon before in their entire life. I've had elders here in the past who told me my sermons were destroying this church. But I never let it bother me, because when you're taking flack, at least you know you're over the target. And my sermons have cost me. Cost me serving a lot bigger churches over the years, even though I've never cared about that at all. Cost me being a lot more well-known, even though I never cared about that either. It cost me a lot of hate mail and a couple of death threats. It cost my wife Sue an office in Ottawa and a bigger counseling practice with a lot more clients. Because when people find out she's married to Kevin Garner, the right-wing radical heretic, forget it. You say, well, Kevin, what do you do with that criticism? I just eat it. I never said that I was a great preacher. I've never even said that I was good at it. But I do know this. God tells me to say things in sermons that 99.9% of other pastors will never say. And I also know the effect that my sermons have on people. Years ago, I was preaching at a youth Bible camp up in northern Minnesota. And after the service was over, a female counselor came up and she said, Pastor Garner, I heard you preach tonight. She says, I've heard you preach before. She said, every time I hear you speak, I just cringe. She said, because when you talk to young people, you talk about problems that young people have when they're having sex before they're married. And you talk about young people being sexually abused. You talk about young people having eating disorders and puking up everything they eat and cutting on themselves and burning themselves. She said, I hear you speak, I just cringe. She said, but then after the services are over and I go back to the tents and the cabins where the young people are and the bonfires, I hear them talking about the problems they're having because they're having sex outside of marriage. And I hear young people spilling their guts for the very first time about being sexually abused at home. And I hear young people talking about eating disorders and puking up what they eat and burning themselves and cutting themselves. And she said, I get an opportunity to lead a lot of those young people to Christ, and I get an opportunity to see a lot of those young people get set free. And she says, I realize, as much as I do not want to hear you speak, the reason those kids talk about those things is because you talk about in your sermons. The sermons that I preach have taken me and Sue to speaking engagements all over the United States and to different parts of the world, and have given us the opportunity to counsel with and to meet with and to witness to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Here's just a few of the responses I've gotten about my sermons in just the last couple of months. And I never share this kind of stuff with you. I've never shared stuff like this with you before, and I will probably never share stuff like this with you again. So blessed to hear a pastor who speaks the truth about Jesus and the Bible. And so grateful for how bold you are in teaching the end times. Here's another. Kevin, I am saved and in the kingdom of God now because of you. Here's another one. Your sermons have brought me and my entire family closer to the Lord and more serious about our faith than ever before. Here's another. My son is off drugs and my husband stopped drinking from watching your sermons online. All in my family are now saved. Praise God for your sermons. Here's another. I found Christ through you, Kevin, and I can't thank you enough for that. And I don't share those things with you to toot my own horn. I'm sharing those things with you to encourage you. I know exactly what it's like to catch seven kinds of hell for standing up for the truth of God, just like you do. And I'm also telling you that to encourage you to keep going, keep standing up, keep speaking up, even when it doesn't look like you're getting any results, even when it doesn't look like it's doing any good, because there is a payoff, there is a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because I am just like you. I can't do everything either. People don't realize, I don't just preach at this church, I pastor this church, which means gazillions of phone calls and visitations and hospital calls and counseling sessions and all the marrying and all the burying. I can't go to high-level meetings at Mar-a-Lago every week. I can't investigate Somali daycare fraud in Minnesota. I can't go to every mass shooting. I cannot go to every natural disaster like the volunteer chaplains with the Billy Graham Association. This is what I do. This is what I can do. I stand up for the truth of God by preaching sermons. Amen. We got a guy in our church that stands up for the truth of God by passing out chick tracts. You know, a couple of years ago, other Christians at another church told him those tracts were evil. He got kicked out of a Christian music festival because of those things. How stupid can Christians be? This guy stands up for the truth of God's word by praying in front of abortion clinics. Mary Nevins does exactly the same thing. She's not here to protest abortion. She's here to end it. That mom back there stands up for the truth of God's word by leading a homeschool group here at Fox River. That couple right back there stands up for the truth of God's word by leading their kids to Christ, leading the next generation to the Lord. I could go on and on. So in these last days, when things are so dark and time is so short, and the vast majority of Christians are fast asleep with no clue how late the time really is, and the devil is running wild, and millions of people going to hell in a handbasket, keep going. Keep standing up. Keep speaking up. because you will never have any idea the incredible amount of good you are doing for the kingdom of God, the sight of eternity. And just like that, people, just like that, it's all going to be said and done. And you're going to be standing before the throne of God. And you're not going to hear right-wing radical Bible-thumping homophobe conspiracy MAGA extremist. You're going to be hearing those 12 words that everybody wants to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord. Dear Pastor Garner, my 17-year-old daughter and I recently attended a service at your church. We live all the way over by Lincoln Park, but a friend that told me that we needed to go to your church. My daughter was never saved and never wanted anything to do with Christ her entire life. And the last year and a half, she decided that she was a guy, that she was trans, and started taking testosterone behind my back. And her friends were calling her Jason instead of Jackie. So whatever made her willing to go to your church with me that day, it had to be God. We sat through the whole service, and I really felt like the Holy Spirit was there. And when you gave an altar call, I couldn't believe it. My daughter looked at me and said, Mom, I want to do that. She wouldn't go up front. I hope that's okay. But we held hands, and she prayed with me right there in the pew. Pastor Kevin, my daughter was saved in your church. She wants to be a woman again. She's reading the Bible. And for the first time in her life, she's going to a good church and has real Christian friends. If only your church was closer to Lincoln Park. I cannot thank you and your church enough for the special ministry you have there at Fox River. Praise God! Praise God from whom all blessings flow! That's who we are as Fox River Church. And the question is this morning, is that going to continue to be who we are at Fox River Church? Because Fox River Church is not a building. Fox River Church is a group of people. It is a body of believers all connected to each other. So who we are all depends on who you are. The people of God in Ezra's day battled idolatry. They stood up and they got rid of it by the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. What is that idolatry in our lives right now? What are those idols in our lives? Not who are we, who should we be? Who could we be if our number one priority was Jesus Christ, like it should be? Every head bowed in this church and every eye closed, in this holy place, at this holy time, at this holy moment, honest to God, are you living for Jesus Christ? What is that in our lives? Before we take one more step into 2026, this new year, we've got to get rid of that stuff in our lives that doesn't belong. Who are you? There's people in this church right now, you're not a Christian. You are not a part of Fox River Church because you're not a part of the body of Christ yet. Today, after this service is over, you get up out of your seat, come to the front of this church, pray to receive Christ for salvation. There's other people here, you are Christians, but there's some things that are messed up in our lives. Today, after the service is over, you come up, come forward, you surrender those things, put them at the foot of the cross, and leave them there. Start that healing process, that process of deliverance, and being set free. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you, Lord, for this church, 187 years. And Lord, we are living off the largesse and off the sacrifice of so many generations of people who came before us. Just pray, Lord, and thank you so much, Lord, most of all for you, your faithfulness to this church. I pray, Lord, that we continue in the future to see people brought to you, see even more people saved, see even more significant ministry be done to Christians as well. We just give ourselves to you as a church, as a congregation, as a body for 2026. Be it all for your glory. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen.